Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Brotherhood Academy Radio Podcast. I am Nick Hilton, and I am joined by my friend Paul Ballantyne. The dedicated men and women of the Volunteer and Call Fire Service are struggling to maintain their ranks. We believe that through teamwork, discussion, and action, we can fight for a dying breed. This podcast is not only for the selfless members who leave their homes, families, and jobs to serve their communities, but also for the career firefighters, community leaders, and taxpayers who may not have a full understanding of our culture. Let's kick it off. What do you think, Paul?
Okay, let's go.
Right, that was Shane Yoder from PutThemInASong.com. He did a pretty damn good job on that. That was like a custom job. Coolest thing about that is he featured that in one of his podcasts. He's got a podcast called The Root Note, and he actually featured that song this week in it. It's pretty neat. So what do you think, Paul? You ready to get this thing
all right, let's get started here.
All right, what did you do today? You went to the firehouse?
Went to the firehouse today. Had a laundry list of things to do. Gas meters and stuff like that that needed work and calibration and some sensors changed and also changed the batteries out in the 1983 American LaFrance. That
awesome.
Was starting hard, so the batteries were long past their time to be changed, so threw a couple of 8D batteries in that thing and started it up and took it for a ride across Long Sands Beach in York today.
That's pretty sweet. You know, we kind of are lucky to be able to have been able to keep that thing. We don't have it in service anymore, but the chief was good enough, the town manager was good enough, and said, hey, you guys can hold on to that. And so we pretty much use it for play, and it's a sweet rig, old Detroit diesel, American LaFrance, open jump seat, good stuff. So let's start off with some introductions. So I'm Nick,
and I'm Paul.
And you are Paul, and we grew up together. The theme song says it pretty perfectly. We were pretty much in diapers together. And grew up around the fire service, the volunteer fire service here in York, Maine. Paul's dad has been the fire chief since, what, 1985?
85,
he's still the chief to this day, and he's done a pretty good job at keeping the culture the way it should be, and we benefit pretty well. We are one of the very few fire departments in the area that the guys and girls do not get paid to go to calls at all.
Or training,
yeah. So It's a rarity, and with that, we have one of the biggest rosters around, ironically. So it's a pretty neat thing growing up around here and seeing the things change. You know, when we were growing up, we had, what, old American LaFrance fire trucks, the fire department. We had an open cab snorkel. We had a couple pumpers. We had some old shitbox Fords and whatnot. So things have changed, and it's pretty neat. So I'm a second-generation firefighter. My father was a firefighter on the York Fire Department. And
an officer.
And an officer. He served as a lieutenant, and then in his later days, he served as a driver. Unfortunately, we lost him in 2003. He died of a heart attack, so I'm here trying to continue his legend on a little bit here and there. So, here we are today. I'm a lieutenant, and I've been, this is my 17th year, so things are flying by. So what about you, Paul?
We were the young guys at one point. Now we're not really kids, but we're not really the old timers either. But we're probably closer to the old timers than we are the kids.
Yeah, I think we're right in the middle. Right in the middle. Unfortunately, a lot of the old timers are going away. It's kind of sad. But yeah, I can see myself every now and then being kind of grumpy and resistant to change and stuff. You know, and I got to remind myself every now and then that, you know, we were young once, I was young once, and I wanted to change things and make things different, and I got pissed off, and the old guys didn't want to do that, so yeah. What do you think makes a good volunteer firefighter? This is one of the topics that I wanted to bring up on our very first episode. It's you know, it's a dying breed, and we're having, you know, all around the United States, especially in the state of Maine, there's news articles that actually one just went out a couple of days ago. I can't remember what town it was, but you know, people are struggling to find volunteers, and I don't know how we can get 17 people to show up for a single car accident into a ditch with unknown injuries, and and people around us, departments around us, are having a hard time. I mean, obviously we're doing something right, but I think it takes a good volunteer firefighter to make everything work. You know, and I had written some things down, like my number one thing is I think it starts with everybody being a self-starter and taking on projects and kind of having a little bit of ownership to the fire department. And I think we try to encourage our people to do that. And then obviously good leaders and good followers. You know, fire departments need good leadership. They also need people that can follow them. You know, not everybody's going to be a leader. Not everybody has the ambition or had the want to be a leader, but a good follower is definitely needed. And I think we have a lot of that with our department. Obviously, the willing to learn is very important. And the last thing I have on here is pride. And I think one of our biggest things that we have is pride tradition. You know, we've got our big thing coming up in the middle of this month, August 18th. Every year we do, this is our 102nd anniversary of our firemen's parade and muster. And then we have a little fireman's ball at the end of the night with a dance, dinner, award ceremony, and stuff like that. So
And lobster dinner.
Maine lobster.
Yes, sir.
Maine lobster. Oh, and don't forget the BYOB, the beer. That is always the good thing. So yeah, I mean, what do you think makes a good volunteer firefighter, Paul? What are you thinking? What is needed to bring to the table, you know, to keep a fire department, a volunteer department going?
So one of the things that is super important when you come in the door is a desire to serve and a willingness to be part of a team. You know, so good team players and a desire to serve and a desire to learn. We can pretty much teach you almost anything, but you need to be willing to learn. So those are some of the big things that we have to instill in our younger firefighters, and it's definitely interesting to see the young faces come into the firehouse. Lack of experience, but their eyes are, a lot of them, their eyes are wide open, and they're sponges for knowledge, and they're just waiting for somebody to come along and take them under their wing. And
right.
they're, you know, for the most part, all good folks. And we can, that's like a blank canvas. We can get them pointed in the right direction. And before too long, they're contributing members of the organization, which is what we like to see.
Definitely. And it's cool too. It's not only younger people. It's, you know, you get the older crowd that are coming in, at least with us anyway. You get a lot of people that are coming in and they're like in their 40s and even some of them early 50s, and they're coming in and they're starting fresh with no experience whatsoever. And they pick up on it, you know, and it takes that ambition and that want to serve your community. So not anybody, you know, well, I guess what I should say is anybody could come in and do this. You know, you don't have to be young. You don't have to be in your teens or your 20s to jump into the fire service. And I think if people want to target people, you know, target new membership and do some recruitment, you know, don't just go to the high schools and the colleges, but go out everywhere in your community, and you'll be able to find like people that maybe just retired out of a good job and an early retirement, and they're looking for something to do, you know.
The other thing to keep in mind is very important is not everybody that joins your department is going to be the person to kick the door down and stretch a hose line into the building. We're at the point in our organization, as many volunteer fire departments are, that there's more to it than just going to fires and putting water on the fire. So
Absolutely. We
need folks to do the background, the things that happen in the background.
Right. The things that the firemen don't really want to do, don't care to do, you know, some of the stuff
that
you and I could really care less about that absolutely has to be done.
Some of the Department of Labor, the record keeping, Maine is an OSHA state, and they mandate a pretty extensive amount of annual mandatory training. And
I think that has a lot to do with
record keeping.
The issues the states have.
And it certainly is taxing on a volunteer fire department, and it definitely is a major factor in recruitment and retention, because
Absolutely. It's
a lot to keep up with, and we struggle with it in our department, trying to keep up with all the record keeping and making sure that, you know, some of the things that they're looking for when they come to your firehouse and they're banging on your door, that stuff is, it's stuff that's getting done, but right. we've never been great at keeping records about it. And so we need folks that have a background in some of that. And we're lucky to have a couple of folks that are not really firefighters right. per se, but they keep track of all that.
They put a lot of time in.
Stuff that's secretarial work in nature. Right. And most of us don't either have the aptitude for it or we don't care about it. Right. But it's necessary things to make the department run
Absolutely.
Smoothly.
Yep, definitely. I mean, and you say, I mean, they come knocking on the door. They come sometimes unannounced. You know,
yeah,
they'll come
they
in and they'll do a quick inspection. You know, we're lucky enough to be able to schedule like a, what do they call it? It's like a, it's an inspection, but it doesn't count.
It's a voluntary audit. We've had voluntary audits before, and one of the times that we had a voluntary audit, I was on the hot seat for meeting up with the female from the Maine Department of Labor, and since I work an odd schedule, I happen to be around during a weekday when she was coming in, so I got to meet up with her with the notebook that we keep all of our records in, and she tore that apart and wanted more, and we had to go and tear into some other records, and then we even went so far as she wanted to look at one particular air pack on one of the particular trucks to make sure it was in service on the truck.
Right.
And so we went down, and I actually had to pull an air pack out of the jump seat for her and show her, even though she probably didn't have any idea
right.
what it
she
was.
She has no idea. Exactly. Exactly.
I felt like I was naked on stage with the woman. Sure. Honestly, she tore our records apart, paper by paper, and it was a million questions. Right. And,
it's things like that that definitely hurt the volunteer fire service. I don't know how it is in other states, but I know in Maine it's definitely been a challenge for us, and we have a good membership and a strong membership. I can't imagine what other towns have to go through. You know, and if you're not compliant, you get fined. You know, your town gets fined, and that's, you know, the reason why a lot of departments, a lot of towns have volunteer firefighters is because they can't afford it. They simply can't afford to staff people full-time. So to get fined, you know, it's kind of tricky. I guess this kind of leads us into the next topic, too, is what are the challenges of the volunteer fire service today? And that's definitely one of them. There's no question there. Is, you know, the required training that you have to do. It's tough to keep people, you know, to keep the retention, you know. And I think along with retention is attendance is also tough. I mean, you got, you know, look at you and I. We've got kids. We're married. We've got, you know, jobs, and we have to work overtime, and, you know, keeping our own attendance, you know, and then everybody else that's coming in that may have come in late in the game and aren't, you know, their heart's not in it as much as some others, you know, they have to, you know, you got to keep them coming and going to the calls and going to the trainings, and that's a challenge right now, depending on where people are in their lives. I mean, you know, you get the new kids that come in and they're at the firehouse every day playing on the gym or, you know, working out and getting the trucks cleaned up and stuff, like stuff we used to do when we were 18, 19 years old and had no responsibilities. But
I'd just like to have more time to spend down there. When I get down there, I have a list of things to do, and I don't usually have a lot of time to hang around.
Right.
Like
right.
we used to when we were young. That was a lot of fun back in the day.
It sure was, just sitting on the bumper waiting for a call to come in.
Yeah, we did a lot of that.
Going for a joyride across the beach and seeing what was down on the beach, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yep. Sometimes we caught calls and sometimes we didn't.
Right, right. And we did back then when we caught some calls. They were some good ones. And that's another thing, too, is, I mean, we're not getting the fires that we used to get back in the day.
That's for
and
sure.
I don't know if it's the same throughout the United States, but I
would say it probably is. The fires are down in most places and EMS calls are up.
Right, right.
Blah.
What does EMS stand for, Paul?
Yeah, every minute sucks.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's no question there. You know, and that keeps us busy. I mean, we're not strictly a volunteer department. We do have three paid guys, one on each day. They do a 24-hour shift and then 48 hours off. So, I mean, they're by themselves, but they handle a majority, probably 99% of the medical calls that we get. And, you know, we're in a coastal tourist community, and we have, how many elderly care facilities do we have in our area?
It seems like a lot.
There's a lot of medicals. We get a lot of medicals, especially in the summertime, things pick up. And, you know, and it's good to have that career staff, but I mean, the medical calls, you know, who wants to keep up with that? I mean, people do, and it's good, but I mean, when you're not getting paid or you're getting paid on call, but it's not a lot, I mean, are you really going to want to leave? You know, a lot of people don't want to leave their homes these days. So that's definitely a challenge that, you know, needs to be looked at and discussed. So obviously, We're not going to be able to tackle that, you know, in one or two episodes, but it's going to be something that we can definitely bring up. Funding is another huge issue. Fundraising seems to be a challenge. There are a lot of departments that have some really creative stuff, and even we did some creative things a few years back, and I kind of wish we got back into it, but...
Fundraising's hard because it's hard. It's so time-consuming, and it really it takes away from our mission, which is, you know, serving the community, fighting fires, and responding to emergencies. We're very fortunate to be well-funded in York.
Absolutely.
We are doing probably better than most, but then I know there's some places that are doing even better than we are. We're not putting on bake sales or
car washes
to buy equipment. You know, the reality is that we're doing quite a bit better than that, and so we're very, very fortunate. When we ask for something from the town, our hit rate is probably 100%.
Oh, I would say so. I can't think of the last time we've been voted down for something that we've asked for.
Yeah, we're very lucky there.
We are lucky. So I think it's good that you and I have these experiences in this town where we do have the benefit of getting money, and we do have the benefit of getting a yes vote and getting the members to show up to calls, that I think we can bring this out there and, you know, get everybody who's listening to this podcast to kind of have a little bit of inspiration, inspire them a little bit to maybe go out and try some of these tactics that we can bring to them in later episodes. We're lucky, you know, and, you know, I hate to brag, and that's not what we're trying to do, but we do have a pretty good showing of members, you know, and I think the leadership, it's good to have good leadership, and you know, your father being the chief since 1985, you know, I've seen a lot of changes, and
man,
you know, even in his older years now since he's retired, I don't know what he does up there anymore, because he's been delegating, and delegating is great. We've actually been trying to get him to delegate things for how many years now?
Yeah, he has a hard time with that sometimes.
Yeah, it took him to retire from his full-time job and sit around the house and be able to hang out at the firehouse whenever he wants to start delegating. And I think that's great, and that's a really, really big, strong trait that you need to have. And, you know, you hear other people that are on other fire departments, and their chiefs don't let them do anything.
You know, we're very fortunate there. We can run with things as we see fit with... Right. We really don't have to explain what we're doing for the most part.
Right, pretty much. Pretty much, you know, empowerment, you know, you got to empower your members. You got to let them have a little bit of ownership. Without that sense of ownership, you know, people are going to be like, yeah, it's just another place where I'm going to have to spend some time. And, you know, look at the guys what are they building up there now? I haven't been up there in a week because they're doing nothing but overtime. But
they're redoing the front patio, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
There's a group of guys. They were hard at it today. Unfortunately, I wasn't much help to them because I was on a couple other projects there. But they're in a big push to get this done before Fireman's Field Day, which is Saturday, August 18th.
That's awesome.
There's gonna be a story on our website about the patio project, because it's one of those things that, you know, this is another thing. Nick and I are running the website for the fire department, and
right.
We try to highlight what the heck's going on down there.
You've
for
been
the
doing more
people.
Of the work on that lately than I have.
Well, somebody has to do it. So,
right, right.
You know, we need to have a presence on social media and on the web and that stuff. And, you know, as much as I'm not gifted with the social media, I'm not gifted with anything computer related.
Yeah, but you know, you've got the skills to get the words out, though.
We have to get that out there. And it looks good for the members. You know, they see that their picture is on the website, and you know, our members are doing this and our members are doing that.
Yep.
So we're tooting our own horn on the website.
Sure, but I mean, it's something you got to do,
you know,
for the members.
The members appreciate the fact that they're being recognized,
right?
And it's super important. And it when I see that, I see pictures of that our members are posting on social media. Look what we're doing at the firehouse, and I'm not there. I feel guilty that I'm not there.
Yeah, I do too.
I do too. I feel bad. I haven't been a part of it, but we just have, like any fire department, you know, we just have so much talent, and those guys are hard at it, and it's going to be done by field day.
That's awesome.
And they were really, really going full steam ahead today, and it looked really, really good.
Awesome. Maybe what I'll do is I'll post some pictures on my Instagram account. It's kind of linked to this Brotherhood Academy radio movement.
I got a couple pictures of the. I got a couple pictures today, and I have some pictures that one of our firefighters took the other day while they were working on the project. And the front patio there has been a topic of discussion for. I can't even tell you how long.
And well, I mean, it used to have the bench on it that that people would sit on while everyone else was working. You know what I mean? We used to joke about that all the time. I can remember one year, it was the Thursday. We train every Thursday night. And the Thursday night before Fireman's Field Day, which is actually coming up in a week, is tradition that we wash and wax all the fire trucks. And then there's pizza at the end.
That's a big project to wash, wax, and detail your whole entire fleet in one night.
And the trucks keep getting bigger and bigger. More to wax, more surface.
It's a major undertaking, and all hands need to be on deck for that.
Definitely is. And the problem that we would find ourselves in is people would be coming up and sitting on the bench watching everyone work until the pizza showed up, and then they'd get up off their asses and go in and grab a couple slices. Well, actually, there's one case where someone grabbed how many? Like 5 slices?
That's another story. That was another story at another time.
Yeah, that was a pretty comical event. Captain's helped himself to his plate. But anyway, so it's kind of nice to see that change, you know. All I can think about is that little patio area is just a flagpole and a bench where all the fatties like to sit and all the lazy guys like to sit and not do anything. So,
Can you say fatties?
I can say whatever we want to say on this. This is our podcast show. It's the truth, though.
We hid the bench one year.
We did. We hit it. We picked it up, and I don't know, where did it even go?
Yeah, we tucked it behind the firehouse one year.
Yeah.
So nobody had a bench to sit on. So we figured that would inspire everybody to help us get the trucks cleaned up.
Yeah. I don't know if it worked or not. Maybe someone went home. I don't know. So, you know, that ownership and getting people to express their talents and show their talents. Everyone has a different talent. And there's so many working parts and moving parts of the fire department, you know. And if you are a chief listening to this, or a deputy chief, assistant chief, or whatever, if you're not delegating the work to your officers and your firefighters, and if you're not taking advantage of everybody's individual talents, you're hurting your department, you're hurting your membership, and you're going to find yourself in a rut someday where people are just going to say, hey, I'm not going to show up because I've got no purpose here. People want purpose, especially the younger people, the millennials. That's all right. Hear that ticking? We're back. We're recording again. I'm having a little bit of problems here with our first episode, 001. We're in the basement. There's a master box next to the table here with a lamp on it, so Paul's having some fun with that. He's kind of a master box guru. Since we're
like
talking about
things, yep.
We were just talking about millennials, and they probably millennials. We're the older generation of millennials, and these newer millennials don't really have any care about this old technology, which kind of sucks. But we're in my basement. This is where the podcast studio is. It's kind of set up primitive. It's an old table. I got 4 mics, and it's right next to the wood stove. So when winter hits, we're going to be pretty damn warm. Paul, remember the last time you were in this basement?
Yeah, we had a little bit of a chimbley fire.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Some of you folks that aren't in the Northeast probably don't know what a chimbley fire is.
Chimney fires are probably one of my favorite things to go to.
Yeah, we rock those in York Village like they're going out of style. Yeah. That's an operation that we're so well-versed in because the old-timers trained us so well.
Right.
We go to chimney fires and handle that like some departments handle narcotics overdoses.
Yeah, no kidding.
We just go to those and then the steps to taking care of that, we have a, you know, just a recipe for it, and the steps all fall into place, and we do it. So often, it's a quick, easy call, and our guys...
For the most part.
Yeah, for the most part. Yeah. Our guys are just so good at it that everything just happens, and it's like you don't even need to tell guys what to do.
You don't even really need
to
train on it. You just got to show the new guys some Thursday night what exactly everything's about, and everything just always falls together.
We talk about it in the fall every year just so that we can, you know, get our head in the game. All right, it's, wood-burning season is coming up, and... you know, we got to talk about refamiliarize ourselves with the terminology and the parts and the pieces of the chimneys and stoves and things like that, and share some experiences. We'll go around the room usually with the senior most officers will usually, you know, share some experiences they've had, and that's an operation we fly through those things.
Tons of fun
comes together, and it's a lot of fun. And And we seem to have the same offices and the same spots at every chimney fire.
Yeah, it always works out that way. You're usually in the basement.
I'm usually in the house, and Captain Butler is usually on the roof.
Yep.
And
yep.
We're at the point we almost don't need to talk to each other about what we're doing anymore because we do it so often. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun. So we're getting back to what we were saying with these millennials coming in, these young kids. They want to feel like they're making a difference and they want purpose. You know, they can't hold jobs these days because they're expecting to make a difference on the very first day. And that's something we should be taking advantage of in recruitment, is telling all these kids that are in college, say, hey, listen, if you really, really want to make a difference and you want to save something or you want to make something better, or fix something that's, you know, in trouble, join the fire department. You know, you're going to make a difference. Probably the first few days, the first few times you go to a call, you're going to make a difference. It may not be huge the first time, but you're going to be doing something. And I think we should be taking advantage of that.
It's the ultimate team sport.
Absolutely. Sure. So, well, let's start ending this thing now. I don't want to make this too long, and I do apologize to you listeners. This is episode 001, and it's going to be a trial and error type of thing here as far as figuring out all of this technology and the three iPhones and this mixer, which, by the way, I need to show you, Paul, how to run this mixer. We won't do it now, but it's just like running a pump panel.
There's a lot of buttons. I can run a pump.
It's just like running. It really is. I looked it up on YouTube, and to be relatable for me, I was like, oh, okay, the pump panel. You get your lines going in. You get your lines going out. You got your main throttle here. See that?
Oh, yeah, there's throttle. Right? Yep. Which one's the tank to pump?
Tank to pump. Well, the tank. See, I gotta figure that one out.
Yeah.
But either way, it's pretty neat, you know. So, like I said, this is going to be a pretty cool thing. And we talked about some things that are kind of about our fire department. And a little bit of a disclaimer here, too, is anything we talk about is not representing the York Fire Department. It's representing what we've learned in our experiences. And we're in a successful fire department. I want to say we are successful. Do we need some work? Yeah, everybody needs some improvement everywhere. There's always something that you can do better. But we can take what we have learned and what we've experienced and pass it on and inspire the listeners that are looking to better their volunteer or call or combination fire departments. So
we certainly are not perfect. We have many things we could be better with, but as a whole, sure. It's a pretty strong bunch with endless amounts of talent, as is, you know, plenty of other fire departments out there have endless amounts of talent and people with varied backgrounds and can do, well, firefighters are just folks that can do just about anything.
Yep.
So we're really no different than anybody else. We're really just hoping to be able to share some of the things that have worked well for us. And you never know, maybe we'll pick something up from you guys along the way as well.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, let's finish this up with the ending song here, and we'll call it good.
All right.
Brotherhood Academy Radio is brought to you by Salty Hook Media.